Encourage you to take your Bibles tonight. Hope you have them with you. Open to Luke chapter 11. You want to be sure and take some notes as I give you some references, something that you can go back to. As we look at a passage that we see in a couple of different scriptures, but I want to take that passage and the surrounding passage with it, because I believe that through Jesus' speaking, that there are four lessons to learn about effective prayer. I believe all of us in this room say that we want to pray, amen? And I believe that we know who we pray to, and I think that we want to be effective in our prayer. We want to understand that when we pray, that it moves heaven, and that God moves, and that He responds to our prayer. So that's what I want us to look at tonight, understanding that the ones who asked this, they were asked to be taught to pray. Jesus' own disciples, they have spent some time now with Jesus. I can't help but believe that they had a habit of praying already, so they wasn't dumb when it come to prayer. But I believe they had heard when Jesus prayed, and they saw the power that came when Jesus prayed, and they wanted to be effective in prayer. And I believe what Jesus taught them is the same thing that we need to learn today. Because if He taught them how to be effective in praying, then that would still apply to us today, because we believe that Scripture teaches what? That God's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So if you would stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word, Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after He had finished, one of His disciples said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." And He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also have forgiven everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.' Then He said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And from inside he answers and says, "Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If then, being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Father God, tonight I just pray that, Lord, you would speak through me what you have been sharing to me. And Father, you would help us tonight to listen and to hear from you. Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts? Help us to understand the truth of the word. Help us to take that truth and move it from our heads to our hearts. Put it into practice and action. Help us to respond to what you're asking of us tonight. And Lord, would you teach us tonight to be effective prayer warriors? And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So understanding that the disciples asked Jesus to teach us to pray, I believe that would begin to counter-react. Sometimes we hear somebody come and say, teach me to pray. And some people say, well, you don't learn to pray, you just do it. No, I believe it's something you learn. We don't come into life born knowing exactly how to pray. We don't become a believer knowing exactly how to pray. I believe we get taught, we can learn. And what I really find interesting is that when Jesus' disciples asked him there at verse 1, teach us to pray, he took it serious. He didn't just blow, oh, you've been with me, don't you know what to do? No, he took it serious. And most likely, he'd probably been waiting for them to ask this question. And he steps in and he begins to teach them. And I believe the very first thing that we need to learn to be effective in prayer is we must learn it is God's will in our prayers. It's God's will. It's not ours. We're not coming to God. We're not informing God of anything he doesn't already know. God's will. Jesus says at the very beginning, look at verse 2, and he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. That is the number one most powerful and most effective part of prayer is that we pray God's kingdom come. What is that? God's will. God is the king. When he speaks, that's what it is. Your kingdom, your leadership, God, let that come. Let that be what it is. God is wanting in our prayer life to be effective prayer life. God is wanting to teach us who he is. God is wanting to use us. So the first thing there is we must learn it is God's will in our prayer. You might ask a good question. What is God's will? How do I know what God's will is? How can I pray in God's will? Well, to be able to pray in God's will, I believe that probably when we get ready to pray and we kneel or we sit down, whatever we're going to do, instead of just sitting down and rambling off all of our petitions, is if we would pause just a moment and ask God, would you lead this prayer time? What do you want me to pray for? And I believe we begin to shift the focus from us to him. Now, there are some times we come and we kind of know that direction, but I believe there's times that we need to seek him. Right down there under that first section, 1 John 5:14. It says, this is the confidence which we have before him. The confidence, the assurance, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. 1 John 5:14 and 15. It's very clear here and other places. If we're praying in God's will, he will what? He will answer that prayer. It doesn't say he might. He will answer that prayer. Well, what is it? I don't know what his will is sometimes. I don't know what he's wanting. James 1:5 is a great scripture that says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives freely or gives graciously to all. You don't know, ask. I know as a parent there's sometimes that Waylon comes and he wants to beat around the bush with a question. I'm like, just ask the question. And there's sometimes that I know there's something that I want for him, but I want him to ask for it. And have you ever had that with your child where you're leading them to ask so that you can give it to them? It's what God wants to do. He wants us to ask because then we learn who he is as he answers that and we begin to do that. Write down real quick again Romans 8, 26 and 27. Romans 8, 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. There are times in my prayer that I'm like, God, what is it? I just don't know. Holy Spirit, would you intercede? Would you give me direction? Let me tell you what, your prayer life changes when we can get to the point of removing us, coming to a genie to rub the lamp, and poof, he's going to request our three wishes. The world sees it that way so much, and then the world wonders sometimes why God doesn't answer. Well, God does answer. He promises us that he will answer us if we're praying in his will, seeking him, finding out what it is that he wants us to pray. Second lesson is we must learn to persevere in our prayers. This is one of the most difficult ones for me. I'll have to admit it's usually not too much of a problem for me to go to God and ask him for something, even when I know he's leading it. But when he don't answer just like that, or he don't answer in a couple of days, I move on sometimes. That's not what he's wanting to cultivate us. He's wanting us to come along. Look there at Luke in our passage here. Verse 8 says, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. God is using an illustration there that they would understand a little bit more than we do, because we have a nice house, and most of us in here probably have a bedroom that we sleep in, and our children have a bedroom that they sleep in, and we have living rooms, and we have this. Understand, in their day, their little house might have been a one-room house. And when it was bedtime, they all laid down right next to each other. So for that man to get up, he's going to probably have to disturb his family and step all over them to go and to get some bread that his neighbor or his friend has come and wanted, because his friend had a need. But it says not because he's a friend, but because of his persistence. I believe God's telling us that when we have a need, that we're to be persistent. We're to seek him until he responds. We go after that. We don't stop. Knowing, because we've stated, I believe all of you would say in your heart and in your mind, that we understand that God's word says what? He will answer. So until he answers, we need to be persistent. We need to persevere. We need to keep going. We need to forget that, oh, my knees are hard. My knees hurt. I've been on my knees for a day. Well, good. Maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe a year. Sometimes he responds quickly. Sometimes he doesn't. What we do understand is that his ways are higher than our ways. We know and we believe through faith that God is God. We believe through faith that he answers prayer. So why would we stop until we have an answer? He's telling us clearly here that we need to persist in that. Thirdly, we must learn that God answers all our prayers. I'm going to repeat that. God answers all of our prayers that are prayed in his will. Look at verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. I know we've talked about this verse before. That's talking about ask and continue to ask. Seek and continue seeking. Knock and continue knocking. But let me break this down a little different tonight. Understand that. Let's go through this kind of word by word. Yours might be slightly different than mine. So I say to you, ask. What does it say next? And it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. It doesn't say it might. It says it will. He answers all prayers. Right there in your note, Jeremiah 33:3. Jeremiah 33:3 that you can go back to. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Once again, we see even in the Old Testament that he will. Many of you probably know Dr. Charles Stanley, and he said that there are four ways that God answers prayer. Number one is yes, we all like that, right? Number two is no. Number three is wait. And number four, my grace is sufficient for you. Not contradicting Dr. Stanley, but I believe that there are three ways that God answers, and that's the first three. Yes, no, and wait. Scripture does tell us that God's grace is sufficient, but I think that that goes along with number three and four. When God tells you no, he's also telling you my grace is sufficient for you. Whatever it is, my grace is sufficient. If he's saying wait, believe he's also saying, my grace is sufficient. Write down 2 Corinthians 12:9. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, and then quoting Jesus, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And Paul continues, most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Why would it be wait? Why not yes? Maybe you're not ready. Maybe God has something better, or maybe there's someone else involved that's not ready. Because God doesn't override our will. But there's times in our life that we're seeking, and oftentimes when we come to him in his will and we come to him in our pain, we're wanting answers, we're seeking answers. And I just praise the Lord when he says yes. But if he said yes to every one of my prayer requests, I'd be in bad shape. Because he knows far better than I do. He knows what the future holds. He knows his ways are better than mine, what he has. The times that he said no were difficult. But I can learn here that, and I can tell you through experience, that his grace is sufficient. And I look back and I see that the no was better than the yes would have been. And the times of wait that comes along. When we're waiting, he's building our character. He's molding us. He's making us. And when he says wait, he brings in that 2 Corinthians that my grace is sufficient for you. Why you're going through this, why you're struggling with this, why you're moving on, I'm there. My grace is sufficient for you. And I love number 4, we learn that the Father is interested in our prayers. Look there at verse 11. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He would not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? The Holy Spirit's the one that intercedes with us. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the will of God. We get it through his word. But the Father's interested. He's interested in our prayer. Prayers all through Scripture. He teaches about it. That's how we communicate with him. When we understand that, the effectiveness of it, how many of us like to communicate with somebody else? Go ahead and raise your hand. You like to talk to Madeline, David, you like to talk to Carla? We like to talk to each other most of the time. If she's nice to you, you'll talk to her. But he's interested. And when we have something to say, don't you want the person you're going to talk to be interested? I don't know about you, but have you ever had something you wanted to share with someone and you got them and you're telling them and you can see right in your eyes that they ain't a bit interested in what you're saying? It's all over their face as much as they try to hide it. How does that make you feel? Warm and fuzzy inside. But we know that every time we come to God, he is interested. He is listening and he hears us. And I believe with that being interested, we can say that he knows what's best for us. He's interested in what we have to say, but he also knows what's best. Just like that, if you ask for a fish, won't give him a snake. Please, no, I hope not. I don't like snakes. But what are they asking for? He uses the analogy of giving an egg, asking for an egg won't give him a scorpion. He's saying that us humans understand these things. But how much more does the holy, perfect Creator God understand what you need even before you ask? And when we come to him, and we seek him first, and we seek his will, and we begin to ask his will in our prayer, we will have effective praying. We will be effective in our prayers because God has a plan that he's wanting to work and he wants to use us. And when we ask for him to fulfill what he is wanting to do, he'll move heaven and earth to make it happen. It's the 4 lessons that we can learn that Jesus taught his disciples. The key being praying in his will. Would you bow your heads?